ברוכים הנמצאים רבותיי, ותזכו לשנים רבות, נעימות וטובות. It is a great night tonight, where we're celebrating the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon, Adonenu Bar Yochai. Although we usually like to spend this night in Meron, by the Tziyun, however, I do have a lot of joy in the fact that I'm able to spend it in another country that I also enjoy visiting, but although I cannot be there personally, but to address my good friends and brothers in Mexico City, Hashem Alehim Yihyu, as I know that they're also going through the same nisayon, the same test that we are going through here in New York. And it's a big honor for me to address you tonight on this holy night. Obviously, the theme of the night is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And I'm sure that if you would ask most people to tell us about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the first thing they're going to say is, Zohar HaKadosh. And they're right. For sure, that's the great treasure that Rabbi Shimon bequeathed to us. And it's all the secrets of the Torah. That's what he brought out of the cave. As a matter of fact, we might have something in common with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was also in quarantine, not for a month or two. He actually was quarantined for 13 years. And when he came out with Baruch Hashem, the Zohar HaKadosh. Rabbi Shimon, we have to remember, was also a great Tana of the Mishnah. We read about him in the Talmud all the time, where he states his opinions on Jewish law. So he was a legislator. He was a Mekubal. However, tonight I'd like to talk about one of the main themes that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai preached during his life and something that he must have learned from his rabbis. I know you're all familiar with the famous Gemara in Yebamot. There the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva had a yeshiva. It was one of the biggest yeshivas ever that existed, 24,000 students. And we all know the tragic ending of that yeshiva. It ended very quickly in a matter of a few weeks. And before you know it, the only surviving member of that yeshiva was the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Akiva himself, bereft of 24,000 students that all died a very, very miserable death, a very painful death, askira, which is like asphyxiation. Excuse me, Rabotai, I just want to mute a little again as we get more members in. And we're also told that Rabbi Akiva did something incredible, which is surprising and actually unexpected. What is expected of Rabbi Akiva is that he would retire. After such a tragedy, how do you pick yourself up and live? Instead, it says he picked himself up and moved on. And he went to the south. And when he got to the south, it says in the Gemara, he found five students. The Torah tells us the names of these students. Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir Balanes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yoseh, Rabbi Shimon. Oh, that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. He started a second yeshiva, much less impressive than the first yeshiva that he had. Rabotai, if I can remind you again to mute yourselves, Rabotai. The second yeshiva that he had was much less impressive than the first yeshiva. They didn't even have a minyan. Five students. One of them was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, student of Rabbi Akiva. But it's a good thing that he did that. Because when those 24,000 students died, with them died all the Torah. 24,000 brains that had all the Mesorah in it was lost. And there was only one man that was the link from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai. Rabbi Akiva decided that if he doesn't open up a second yeshiva, there will be no transmission. There will be no Torah. there will be no link, there will be no Mesorah. So what did he do? He took these five students and he taught them. And the Gemara says, all of the Torah that we have today doesn't come from the first yeshiva. It comes from the second yeshiva. All the Torah that we have today is from the five students. I know you know that, Gemara, but this is the part that you don't know. The Jerusalem Talmud, the Talmud Yerushalmi, tells us about the speech that Rabbi Akiva made the opening day of the new yeshiva. That's a shock. When we go to yeshiva, on the first day of the semester, the rabbi usually gives an opening talk. He tells us the objectives, what our goals are, what we're going to try to accomplish, what the pace is going to be. It's called a speech of petiha. Well, the Gemara tells us, on that first day that the five students sat in front of Rabbi Akiva, he told them the following. He said, Rabotai, I had a yeshiva. You must have heard of it. There was 24,000 students in that yeshiva. It was a glorious yeshiva. But I'm sure you all heard that all of those students perished. Why did they perish? Well, the scientists will tell you it was a virus. The scientists will tell you it was in a laboratory. It was some sort of disease. It happens every 100 years. This is the way of life. These things happen. There's endemics, there's pandemics, there's epidemics. It's part of, it's been going on since Adam and Rishon. Well, that's what the scientists say. But Rabbi Akiva got in front of his students, the five. And he said, I'm going to tell you why they died. Don't believe anybody. Don't believe if they tell you it was asphyxiation, that they died of a breathing complication. That's the physical. I'm going to tell you the reason behind the scenes, what allowed this virus to escape. The students were shocked because nobody knew this at the time. Nobody knew why it happened. They knew what happened, but nobody knew why. It was at that opening day of the second yeshiva that Rabbi Akiva revealed the cause. And I am sure the CDC didn't agree with him. But that's, you know, or the WHO, the WHO. But that's neither here or there. And he got up and he said, gentlemen, Rabotai, Al shelo nahagu kavod ze lazeh. Could you believe it? I had a yeshiva. They were geniuses. They were brilliant. But we lacked one thing. They did not have mutual respect for each other. They did not have honor for each other. There was no camaraderie amongst the students. There was no love. There was no derech eretz. There was an edge. There was criticism. There was cynicism. There was, it wasn't whole. It wasn't, there was not a connection. It wasn't, they weren't friendly. Cause of death. You believe it? It was on that day that Rabbi Akiva gave us the reason. Otherwise, we wouldn't know the reason. We only know the reason because Rabbi Akiva told his students, don't make the same mistake. And now I'm quoting him. Hizaharu atem. I'm warning you. Al mitzvat ve'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha. That means the foundation of the second yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva was built on ve'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha. If you're able to have that, you have a place in this yeshiva. And if you don't have this, you have no place. Rabbi Akiva says, I learned this on my skin. I paid the price. And therefore, this yeshiva must be built on that concept. Now, who was sitting in that room when Rabbi Akiva made that speech? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was sitting there. I have no doubt that this had made a great impact on Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. To hear this from the master Rabbi Akiva, to come along and give them the cause of death, that they didn't know that before. Nobody knew this until Rabbi Akiva revealed it. And now Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would develop into his own Rosh Hashiva. and he would have students. And he would come along and he would make the following statement to his students. This is written in the Edera, the book that Rabbi Shimon wrote. And he says, Anan, us, b'habibuta talya milta. Our success in this yeshiva is dependent on one principle, b'habibuta. You know what habib is? Habibuta, love. Where did Rabbi Shimon learn that that should be a principle? He got it from his rabbi. That's the Mesorah he got from Rabbi Akiva. And you know what he called his students? You know, we call our students Talmidim. Students. He didn't call them Talmidim. In Zohar HaKadosh, Rabbi Shimon always refers to the students as Haverim. Haverim. Friends. As a matter of fact, he called them the Havraya Kadisha. When we say the word Havra Kadisha, we say, who died? That's the burial society. But Rabbi Akiva said, no, it's the holy group of friends. Why did he call them that? He was telling them that for us to succeed in our spiritual journey, it must be built on the Ahavtal L'Re'acha Kamocha. It must be built on that principle. I came tonight to explain to you why. Why did Rabbi Shimon believe, and Rabbi Akiva, obviously his rabbi, that this is what Rabbi Akiva said, Ze klal gadol b'Torah. Klal gadol b'Torah. It's a big rule in the Torah. I remind you of that famous story that we love to tell over with the great Tzaddik Hillel. You remember the convert came to Hillel? The convert comes to Hillel. He wasn't a convert, he was a goy at the time. And he tells the rabbi, Gayireni al regel ahat. I want to convert on one leg. That's strange. One-legged conversion. I don't even know what that means. I guess I used to think it meant he wants a quick conversion. You know, how much could you learn standing on one leg? So he wants a quick version. So Hillel looks at him, although Shammai had no patience for this guy. Shammai kicked him out and said, you know, go across the street. We don't give one-legged conversions. So he went to Hillel, and Hillel was patient with him. And Hillel says, okay, yeah, we'll give you a one-legged conversion. He tells him the following. Regel ahad, da'alach saneh lehavrach leta'avid. You don't like people to do to you? Don't do to others. Da'alach saneh, what's hated to you? Don't do to others. And then he tells him, Zeh kol ha-Torah. That's it. That's the Torah. Ve'idach, and the rest, zil gemor. Go learn. Go learn. The rest is commentary. Go learn the rest. I was shocked when I read this Gemara. Is that what all Judaism is about? I mean, I'm not underestimating the importance of the Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. It's very important. But to come along and to capitulate the whole Torah, and you tell the convert, listen, the main thing is the Alak Saneh, the Avrak L'Tavid. Guess what? You know, it took me about 5 years just to learn Hilchot Shabbat. And Hillel tells him, forget about everything. The Alak Saneh, the Avrak L'Tavid. Is Judaism that easy? Is it so simple that you could relegate the whole book into one principle? And by the way, it's not only Hillel. Rabbi Akiva said, Ve'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha, ze klal gadol b'Torah. Klal gadol? It's a klal, it's a principle. But we have 613 klalim. Why does he call ve'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha klal gadol? A big klal. So, I'd like to tell you two explanations that I've said in previous years, but in your honor tonight, Rabotai, I'd like to offer a novel explanation in honor of Rabbi Shimon. One explanation is, we said, he told the convert, the alak saneh, there's somebody that's your enemy. The alak saneh, you have an enemy, you must know you have an enemy. Well, who's that enemy? Well, it's the enemy that we all have. The enemy is the Yetzer Hara. Rabotai, the Yetzer Hara is very cunning, very clever. He appears as our friend. He comes along in friendship and he says, oh, you know, go have a good time. It's okay. Everybody does it. it's not so bad. God's not going to worry about it either. And, you know, don't worry about it. Everybody is going to enjoy with you. And there's no repercussion. And he's very easy to seduce you. And he makes it like he's your friend. The Hachamim tell us the Yetzer has three names. He's called the Yetzer Hara. He's also called the Satan. And he's also called Malach HaMavet. Why does he have three names? And the holy books say because he has three jobs. First, he's the Yetzer Hara. First, he seduces us. He convinces us to make the sin. And he says, you see that? Nothing happened to you. But then right after we make the sin, he goes up to God and he becomes the prosecutor. And God says, well, how do you know? He says, because I was there, I seduced him. So your friend all of a sudden turns into the Satan. The Satan means the prosecutor. And then God tells the Satan, well, go now execute. And he becomes the Malach HaMavet. So therefore, he's not your friend. He seems to be your friend, but he's your enemy. His end game is to kill you. But he comes in a very, very, you know, with white gloves on, like he did to Adam and Rishon. He told Hava, oh, don't worry, you'll eat from the tree. Nothing's going to happen to you. And before you know it, there was a death sentence on them. And he was responsible for that death sentence. What happened to the friend? So if you'd ask advice, what's the key of religion? Don't become friends with the enemy. If you don't become friends with the enemy, you won't make any sins. That's what Hillel was saying. The alak saneh, the one that hates you, that's the yetzera, lehavrach la ta'avid. Don't make him your friend. Don't make him your haver. Don't befriend the Satan. Don't befriend the Yetzirah. Know your enemy. That's the first thing in war. Know who the enemy is. And Hillel was saying, that's the whole Torah. If you can get that in your brain, the alak saneh, the one that hates you, the havrach la ta'avid, don't befriend him, you'll be fine. If that's the interpretation, I understand the advice. That's very good advice. If a person is told, don't listen to the Yetzirah because he doesn't have your best interest, you'll succeed in Judaism. But I'd like to say another explanation. In Judaism, we believe that every avera that's done by one Jew affects all Jews. It's not a modern concept that society accepts. In society, we accept mind your own business, which means you do what you want to do, I do what I want to do. In America, they say, you know, live and let live. You know, mind your own business. You want to do what you want to do. I don't tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do. What I'm doing doesn't affect you. What you're doing doesn't affect. In Judaism, we don't believe that. In Judaism, the concept says that all of the neshamot are really connected to each other. You have to imagine that it's all one body of a collection of neshamot. And Baruch Hashem, we're getting more participants. That's the good news. But with more participants comes more noise. Comes a lot of noise. Well, in Judaism we believe that as the souls are all connected, if one Jew makes a sin, it affects everybody. And everybody knows the famous mashal of the people that are on the boat. You know, somebody makes a hole and starts to drill a hole in his cabin. And the captain comes in and says, what are you doing? He says, I'm drilling a hole in my cabin. He says, excuse me, you're going to drown the whole boat. He said, but this is my cabin. But we're all on the boat together. You're not going to only drown yourself. You're going to drown everybody with you. And that's the same thing in Yahadut. A person has to recognize a sin of the individual affects the entire klal. And if that's the case, maybe that's what Hillel was telling him. He says, listen, the main thing that a Jew has to remember in order to deter him, the main deterrent to sin is know that your action is going to affect everybody else. So therefore, what you don't want to do to others, what you don't want people to do to you, don't do to others. Which means basically he was saying that don't do averot, because if you really love your friend, you won't do averot, because your averot is going to affect somebody else. So really, is the whole key of the whole Torah. Because if I'm about to make a sin, I say, you know what, I'm going to do it. But then I say, you know what, I don't want to hurt all my friends. You know, it's one thing that I want to say, but my sin is going to hurt everybody else. So therefore, that's the key of the whole Torah. That you're not living in a bubble. You're not doing things alone. Well, if that's the explanation, I accept it as well. But tonight I came to explain it according to the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And this is why probably the Rabbi Shimon felt that this mitzvah is so key. But you need a few introductions in order to understand this concept. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that we all have a neshama. The neshama has 613 parts to it. Just like your body has 613 parts. 248 limbs, 365 ligaments. The neshama is also made up of 613 parts. If I could simplify this for you, Rabotai, I will tell you that there's 613 lights in the neshama, like light bulbs. Imagine the neshama is like a chandelier. The game of life is to put 613 lights and turn them on. So when you return the neshama after 120 years, it's a complete chandelier. All the 613 bulbs are illuminated. The question is, how do you illuminate them? Very simple. Every time you fulfill a mitzvah, that bulb illuminates. Shabbat, you turn on the Shabbat bulb. Pesach, you turn it on. Sukkot, Tarat HaMishpacha, whatever the mitzvah is, and then the goal is to try to turn on as many as you can. Now, what happens if you don't succeed? So Rabbeinu Ari said, well, then we have to introduce the concept of Gilgul. What is Gilgul? Gilgul says, you got to come back. The Shema's got to come back. And you got to fill in all the unfinished work. Whatever bulbs you didn't turn on, well, hopefully in the second round, those mitzvot will present themselves and you'll be able to add them to your neshama. And what if the second time you don't succeed? Well, Gilgul again. And you keep on coming back again and reincarnation over and over again. Now that can't be pleasant. It can't be pleasant. And that was what the convert was worried about. When he came to Hillel, you remember when we used to travel? When a person travels one direction, the airlines, they call that one leg. When you travel coming and going, they say two legs. You know, going and coming. Each destination is called a leg of a trip. What the convert was telling Hillel was, Rabbi, I heard about Judaism, and I heard about the 613 mitzvot. I heard about it. However, geyireni al regel ahat. I want to make one trip. I don't want to come back as Gilgul. Regel ahat. I don't want to have to come back to this earth 3-4 times to do the tikkun. That's why I'm hesitant to become Jewish, because I know it's a big responsibility, and I'm willing to do it. But is there a way to do Judaism al regel ahat? One leg. One-way trip. I'm here now. Is the way I can finish it in one shot? Well, Hillel understood the question. That's a great question, by the way. That question should bother us too. Even though we're Jewish, we should say, is it possible to be Jewish al regel ahat? Is it possible that we could fulfill our tikkun one round, one leg? Well, the Arizal told us how. It's actually three steps. And these ingredients are very, very important. The first ingredient is whatever mitzvah you're able to fulfill, you have to fulfill yourself. There's many mitzvot that you can do. So you have to make a list of all mitzvot that are possible to fulfill. Shabbat, you can do that yourself. Tefillin, you can do that yourself. Talet, you can do yourself. The ladies, they can light the candles on Shabbat. They can bake challah, take challah. They can go to the mikveh. The men can shake a lulav. The men can learn Torah. Make a list of all these bulbs that you don't have to rely on messengers. You don't have to rely on agents. You can do these yourself. That's the first thing. Any mitzvah that you yourself have the opportunity to do, you could do. And the convert knew that. He wasn't worried about that. He said, listen, Rabbi Hillel, I know there's mitzvot that I could, I'm not worried about those. Those I take responsibility. I'm worried about the mitzvot that I can't do. Because there's a lot of mitzvot that are based on circumstance. What do I mean? Brit Milah. Can everybody do Brit Milah? No, you have to have a baby boy. Now, if somebody has six girls, can you do? But he can't do Brit Milah. And if he has six girls, guess what? He's not doing Pidyon HaBen either. And even if he has a boy, if he's married to a Kohenet, he can't do Pidyon HaBen either. So not every person is in the circumstance to fulfill all the mitzvot. Some people, I would say most people, never did the mitzvah of Yibum. It's a mitzvah, but that presents itself very, very, very rare. Or the mitzvah of shoeing the bird, Shiluah Hakan. Yeah, a lot of people did it, but majority of the Jews did not fulfill that mitzvah. Or what about the mitzvah of Peter Hamor, where you have the firstborn of a donkey, that you have to redeem it? I mean, where are you going to find Hamorim? And we have a lot of Hamorim around, but not those type of Hamorim. We're talking about the regular Peter Hamor. How are you going to fulfill this mitzvah? It's very difficult. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Akiva, the great Tzaddikim, they gave us an unbelievable secret. And this is the secret that I came to share tonight. And this, most people don't know this. You remember I told you that all the Jewish people are considered as part of one vine, like the grapes that are connected to a vine? We're all one. That means that it's like a corporation. In the corporation, we have what's called profit sharing. We're all able to share each other's profits equally. If I have a business, I send one salesman to the East Coast, one guy goes to the West Coast, they come back, we put all the money in the middle, and everybody shares it. Well, the same thing when it comes to the Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is made up of one body. And therefore, all the mitzvot that are done by all the people of all the Jews, we're able to share in each other's mitzvot. So I need milah. Okay, so I take the milah. He needs pidyon. I give him pidyon. He needs yibum. I take yibum. Well, he needs peter amor. Okay, you take. So therefore, we're able to go partners when it comes to the mitzvot. And therefore, everybody gets everything. However, the Arizal said there's one condition. That's only on the premise that you have unity amongst Klal Yisrael. You can't share if the partners are fighting. If the partners are fighting, then you don't have a corporation. You don't have a business. But if Klal Yisrael, whoever is be'ahdut with Klal Yisrael, you get to share all of the assets of Klal Yisrael. Kol Yisrael yeshem halik le'olam haba. Why? Because it's called Yisrael. When it's called Yisrael, everybody's able to participate. So therefore, many of those lights that you weren't able to fulfill yourself, through ve'ahavta le'ra'acha kamocha, you're able now to participate. So then the rabbis ask, beautiful. So the mitzvot that I can do myself, I'll do. Those that I can't do myself, I'll benefit through ve'ahavta le'ra'acha kamocha that I can share. But there's a problem. And what's the problem? There's certain mitzvot that nobody can do. Certain mitzvot don't apply anymore today. Most of the book of Vayikra doesn't apply. Can anybody light the menorah today? No. Even if I love every Jew, there's nobody lighting the menorah. It doesn't exist. There's no Beit HaMikdash. Anybody brought the Korban Olat Tamid? Gentlemen, you just had Pesach. Anybody bring a Korban Pesach this year? You didn't bring it not on Pesach Rishon and not on Pesach Sheni either, not on Pesach Shenishi. We don't have a Beit HaMikdash to bring a Korban. Anybody bring the Ketoret? You didn't bring the Ketoret. So what are we going to do with all those mitzvot that nobody is able to fulfill? It's a big question. The answer to that is, if you learn those mitzvot and you study them, God considers it as if you fulfilled it. It's a big hadush. That means if I study the laws of the korbanot, somebody might tell me, what are you studying the laws of korbanot? You're not a kohen. No, but I got these bulbs over here that I have to make sure that they're lit. And Hakamim tell you that if you learn it, it's like you did it. So if you learn the laws of the menorah, it's like you lit the menorah. So whenever you read the parasha, make sure you read those pesukim of all those mitzvot that you need, that nobody can fulfill. So there's three ways to fulfill the Terag mitzvot. Number one, whatever ones you can do yourself, do yourself. Then you connect to Klai yourself to get all the other ones that everybody else is able to do. That can only be done through Ve'avtaraka Kamocha. And then the third method is learn the other mitzvot, and then you have a full tikkun. Now we go back to the story. The rabbi, the convert, comes to Hillel. Gayireni al regel achat. I want to come one time. I don't want gilgul, one leg. So the rabbi told him, listen, whatever you can fulfill, you're going to have to do. So I know that, but what about the other ones? So he says, da'alak saneh lehavrach leta'avid. If you have ve'avta l'racha kamocha, you'll be able to get a lot of extra mitzvot that you don't have a chance to do. Ze klal gadol batorah. To fulfill the Torah, you need ve'avta kamocha. That's why he says, ze klal gadol batorah. To fulfill the Torah, you need ve'avta kamocha. But then he said, what about the rest? Ve'idach zil gemor. And the rest, go learn. The rest is commentary. I mean, the rest you'll study in the commentary. Go study the rest of the mitzvot that nobody can fulfill, and you'll be able to connect to the text. So therefore, I believe that the tzaddikim, like Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Akiva, the reason why they promoted Ve'avta l'racha kamocha so strong is because it's a tikkun of the neshama. Now, many people think Ve'avta kamocha is only it's a man-to-man, which is very important. But here, on a higher level, the camaraderie that Jews have with each other benefits their souls. I remind you, gentlemen, ladies are listening, you know, when you start the, what is this here? The tefillah in the morning in Shacharit. When you start the tefillah in Shacharit, our prayer starts off, Areni mekabel alai mitzvat aseh shel ve'ahavta l'racha kamocha. Unbelievable. The prayer starts off, I accept upon myself the mitzvah of ve'ahavta l'racha kamocha. Ve'areni ohev et kol echad. I love everybody. Now, it doesn't mean you're just saying it. You have to believe it. And the question we asked is, why should the tefillah start with that? I mean, it's a very big mitzvah. I'm not saying no. But you can't pray unless you start with that. I want to pray. After the Amidah, after Adonai Shabbat, we should get up and say, Rabotai, I love everybody. No, too late. You got to do that before you even open your mouth. You can't enter the tefillah. The key to open the door of tefillah is, I accept upon myself. Rabotai, please, look in your Siddurim tomorrow morning. Don't skip that line. That line is the key. That's the entry pass. Hareni mekabel alai mitzvat aseh. And I'm asking, why? I'll tell you why. See, I'm trying to show you tonight the depth of Ve'ahavta l'racha kamocha. See, you always hear it correctly. I'm not discounting it. You always hear it. You have to be nice. You have to be cordial. You have to be, of course. But I'm explaining to you now on a deeper level. First of all, Ahavat Re'im will benefit your neshama. You cannot make the tikkun for your neshama, for the mitzvot, unless you have Ahavat Re'im. You'll never be able to fulfill the teriyag mitzvot without Ve'avta l'racha kamocha. That's why it's so important to be a pursuer of love and ahdut and unity. There's another explanation why. Tefillah has to reach a certain destination. Our tefillot go all the way up. The Zohar Kadosh says it has to reach a certain world. That world is called the world of Atzilut. Maybe you heard of it, maybe you never heard of it. Now you heard of it. Sha'ayanu. Olam Atzilut. Where is that world? Very far. Okay, so what's the problem? The problem is that not every person's neshama is able to reach that high world. Only really the neshama of special Jews are really connected to that high world. You know, it's like an airplane. The old planes were only able to fly 35,000 feet. Then they made the new jetliners. Now they fly 42,000 feet. They fly a little higher. The rocket ship goes out of the atmosphere. The more engines of strength that it has, the more flight it has. Not everybody's neshama is able to reach Atzilut. So what do we do? So says Rabbeinu Ari, something incredible. There are some Jews that can reach it. So it's very simple. He says you have to connect to them. How do I connect to them? If I accept upon myself, I connect myself to all the Jews. I connect myself to all the Yehudim in the world. If he's Jew, he's part of the fraternity. If he's a Jew, he's part of the club, and I'm part of that club with him, and I have ahdut, I have unity to him, I have respect for him. The Arizal says, beautiful. Now what you're doing is you're taking a taxi with him. Your tefillah goes up with him, which means when you make the tefillah, you say, sorry, your tefillah cannot go up. But I said, v'avtalaga kamocha. Oh, okay, you know what? Your tefillah will go up with that guy. And somebody said, hey, how did your tefillah go up with that guy? You took a tram. Yeah, because after Kamoka, the unity is able to take all the tefillot and bring them up to us. So that's the key to tefillah. So now we see a second thing. Besides the tikkun that it makes for the neshama, it makes a tikkun for tefillah. Now the third thing I'm going to come and tell you. Which I'm sure many people don't know. I hope I'll be able to explain this to you. See, tonight the purpose is to learn ve'ahavta le'ra'acha kamocha bi'iyun, in depth. I once had a question. You know, everybody knows in English the way we say, love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. You see that on top of the building sometimes. But it's wrong. Because the pasuk doesn't say that, Rabotai. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says ve'ahavta le'ra'acha kamocha. There's two more words. Ani Adonai. Oh, I am God. What's that doing there? A simple explanation. There was once two friends, Reuven and Shimon. And Shimon was on trial by the king. It was a false trial, but the king said Shimon committed a crime and he's punishable by death. Reuven loved his friend so much, he was trying to do anything to save his life. He hired lawyers, he went to the court to defend him, but to no avail. The king was going to get Shimon. Finally, the king said, guilty, we're killing Shimon, and they take him to the guillotine to kill him. And all of a sudden, Reuven, his friend, comes to the guillotine and he tells the king, it was me. It was me. I did it. Don't kill him. It's wrong. I committed the crime. And the king was shocked. And the king says, can you tell me why you're doing this? He says, this is my friend. Please do not kill him. Kill me. He says, you have such friendship amongst you that you're willing to die for him? So he says, absolutely. The king says, then I ask you to do me a favor. Make me part of this friendship. I want to be the third friend. If there's two friends that are close like this, make me your partner. The pasuk says, "Ve'ahavta le'ra'acha kamocha." God says, "You have ve'ahavta le'ra'acha kamocha." Ani Adonai, I'm your third partner. I want to be part of this group over here. Borei Olam says, "Make me a partner." God says, "Where there's unity, this is where I'd like to be involved. This is a good business for me. Make me your partner." That's the simple interpretation of Ani Hashem. It's not simple, it's a beautiful explanation. I accept this. To me, I don't need another explanation. But in honor of the night, we'll say something a little deeper. I'll tell you what Rav Chaim Palachi said. Rav Chaim Palachi was the chief rabbi in Izmir, in Turkey. He said a very strong explanation on Ve'avta le'ra'acha kamocha. He was trying to understand what's the word kamocha. Ve'avta le'ra'acha, love your friend, maze kamocha. Is it possible to love your friend like you love yourself? Impossible. Impossible. You could love your friend, but not like you love yourself. Everybody loves themselves much more than they could love anybody else. So that word kamocha, what does it mean, kamocha? A true story happened in Izmir, Turkey. There were three businessmen, and they were the leaders of their respective industry. Under them were the small guys, but they were the heads of their industries, and they were making a lot of money. And of course, the small guys were always jealous of them. You know, they would always say, when are these guys going to retire so we can get more of the business to ourselves? As long as these guys are running the businesses, they're taking all the money for themselves. We can't get a piece of the pie. So they were always praying for these guys to retire or something, God forbid, so the more money will come to them. So they came to one day, the three leaders, they got old. They told Rav Chaim Palachi, you know, we're deciding to retire, we're closing our business down, and we're going to Eretz Yisrael. All the small guys said, Baruch Hashem, Hashem answered our prayers. These guys are going out of business. They're moving to Eretz Yisrael. Now we'll take all their customers. Now we're going to sell all their people. Now all the money that they were making now is going to trickle down to us. Chaim Palachi told them, don't be so sure. Don't be so sure. You never know where the beracha of an industry comes from. Sometimes the beracha comes from the guy on top. And because he has beracha, the beracha comes to everybody beneath them. It's quite possible that once they leave, maybe they take the beracha of that business with them. Sure enough, he was right. The three guys closed their businesses. They went to Eretz Yisrael, and the three industries dried up. There was no business, not for them and not for anybody else. Chaim Palachi then said, you see a lesson over here? You were cursing your competitor your whole life, and you didn't even realize the beracha was coming through him. Therefore, he said, Ve'ahavta l're'acha, love your friend. Which friend? The one that's kamocha, the one that's your competitor, the one that's kamocha that's in the same industry as you. Because you never know, could be the barakah's coming from that guy. And if you curse them out, you're cursing the pipe that's bringing the barakah to you as well. You never know which guy in the industry is bringing the barakah to everybody else around them. Therefore, he said, the key is ba'abtal rakah, which rakah? The one that's kamocha, the one that's like you, the one that's doing the same thing that you're doing. My uncle was Yitzhak Shalom. You must have heard of him. He was a very great philanthropist. He started many, many great projects, Otzar HaTorah, for example, and many others throughout Europe and Morocco, North Africa. He built all the yeshivot in our community, the synagogues. As a businessman, he was in the handkerchief business. In those days, handkerchief was a big business. And many people worked for him. And then as they became, a little successful, as they became successful, they would go on to make their own business. My great uncle would call them into the office before they would leave. And he would say, here's a list. What is this list? This is a list of all customers you have to call. They said, Mr. Shalom, these are your customers. These are not my customers. There's enough for everybody. He would give the work his Rolodex with all the numbers to call. Usually you'd say, this is mine. He had no understanding. He said, but it's from Shamayim, Kamocha, we're in the same business. Therefore, Borei Olam will give me the Beracha. And the more he did that, the more Beracha came through him to everybody else. Now, that's not so easy to do, obviously. But the point is, be careful who you have bad words to, because it could be you're hurting yourself. But now I'd like to say the deeper explanation. You need an introduction. The introduction is as follows. The Hakamim say that there are 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. Actually, I counted them before I came here tonight. That's how I was late for a few minutes. There's really not 600,000 letters. There's about 310,000 letters. Medin Nedid, another time we can explain how they got to that number, 600,000. But there's 600,000, that's the number that's accepted, however you count it. There are also 600,000 neshamot. in Klal Yisrael. 600,000 primary neshamot. The Jewish people have two names. We're called Yisrael and Yeshurun. Yisrael is Rashi Tevot. Yesh Shishim Ribo Otiyot LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah. Yeshurun stands for Yesh Shishim Ribo Neshamot. There are 600,000 Neshamot. Yisrael, Yeshurun. The Arizal says, every Jew is connected to a letter in the Sefer Torah. We have to believe that. Our neshamot have holiness. Where does that holiness come from? From a ot in the Sefer Torah. I cannot tell you which letter you're represented in. But the great Kabbalist could look at you and say, ah, you're a chaf, you're a mem, you're a ayin. That's why the Arizal said, when they take the Sefer Torah out on Monday and Thursday and Shabbat, you're supposed to look very closely at the letters, try to find a word that starts with the first letter of your name. My name is Eliyahu. I always look for the Aleph. I have my pinky, I'm looking, oh, there's the Aleph. We kiss it. Maybe I was lucky, maybe I found my letter. But every Jew is connected to a letter in the Torah. That's the facts. They actually say that when Moshe Rabbeinu was bringing the Jewish people in the Midbar, he told each tribe, you stand over here, you stand over here, you stand this way, you go to the north. What was he doing? Why did the Jewish people have to travel in a certain formation? Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew each letter. So he was creating Pesukim. When they stand in a certain order, you could actually read the Pesukim of the whole Torah. The Jews were actually a walking Sefer Torah. So therefore they had to walk in this order because the letters had to spell words to be configured like a Sefer Torah. It's an incredible concept. So when the Jews are walking, it's like the Hamishah Hamishah Torah walking. There was actually five parts. It was a square, and then the Mishkan was in the middle. So when they're walking, it's five parts of Hamishah Hamishah Torah walking. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, nobody move out of place, because you're going to ruin the configuration of the Sefer Torah. Every Jew is an ot. Now let me tell you something about the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's important you know this also. I learned this many years ago when I decided to become or to study to become a sofer. I never pursued it, but I learned how to write the letters like of the Sefer Torah. They taught us how to make a quill, the kulmos. We had to make our own ink, to dip it. And then we take the parchment. And I noticed the following. When you write Hebrew letters are always written left to right. When you put the quill on the parchment, you always put it down and move left to right. I once asked a big rabbi, I said, in Judaism we know that left is judgment. Left is midat hadin. Right is mercy. The Ben Ish Chai says, you always want mercy to be over judgment. He says when you clap, for example, you always clap right on left. Why? Hesed on deen. You want the deen to be underneath. When you get dressed in the morning, we just learned in the Daf Yomi, you put your right hand in first. When you bathe, you wash your right hand first. You always give the priority to the right. And I asked the big rabbi, why then when you're writing letters, Hebrew letters, why do you start from the left? At the time he told me, and I didn't understand what he meant, but he said, because Jewish letters represent Midat Hadin. The letters are judgment. I said, what? Letters are judgment? These are letters of the Torah. One day you'll understand. The letters start from the left. Yes, Jewish letters are judgment. When I got older, I figured out another secret. When you take letters and you put them as part of words, what happens? Well, you know how you read Hebrew? Hebrew you read from right to left. Something happened. where a letter that stands alone is left to write. That's how you write it. But when you put these letters in a word, you change the direction. Instead of left to right now, in a word, the words are read right to left, which means, if this is correct, that anybody that's able to put words together turns the Midat HaDin into Midat HaRahamim, which everybody should be interested in doing. Everybody should be interested in turning judgment into mercy. Everybody has judgment, lo alinu, in their lives. Everybody has stuff that is not so sweet. And our job is to try to sweeten the judgments. And we learned now how to do it. You take letters, which is judgment, left to right, and you make words out of them. You're telling me, what should we do all that long? Write words, Rabbi? Write Hebrew words? Well, if you have time to do that, maybe you should do that. But I'm going to give you another idea how to do it. Let's go back. I just told you that every Jew is a letter. Every Jew is a letter in the Sefer Torah. When Jews stand individually, alone, separate, they're individual letters. A Jew that stands alone and is not connected to another Jew is an individual letter. There's judgment. Letters are left to right. But all of a sudden, a Jew has ahdut. He has unity. What does he end up doing? He starts connecting letters together. What happens when you connect letters? You create words. You change the direction. From left to right now, you start to go right to left. Incidentally, what I'm telling you, Rav Chaim Vital said, unity and ve'ahavtal l'racha kamocha begins in your home. It begins with your wife. That's where it starts. Doesn't start outside the house. It starts inside the house with your wife and those that are the closest to you, and then you start to build it on the outside. Although some people do it reverse and they're wrong. Outside the house, they're friendly with everybody. When they come home, they don't have shalom bayit with their wife. This is upside down. This is topsy-turvy. It's backwards. Nonetheless, the key is every time you connect Jews together, you're creating words. You're creating words. And when you create words, you see three Jewish people walking together, there's a word. There's mercy over there. You see a Jew separating from his friend in Mahloket, get away from me. Don't talk to me. You're separating them. Now they stand alone. Judgment and judgment. Now you need one more introduction. And I'm going to give you a new way to learn the Pasuk. Did anybody ever teach you that God has two names? One name is the name of mercy, and one name is the name of judgment. You know the name of mercy? Yudke Vavke. Anytime you hear the name Yudke Vavke, mercy, rahamim, kindness, sugar, sweet. Does anybody know the name of judgment? Yes. Elohim. Elohim. Elohim is Midat HaDin. The goal of life is to turn Elohim to Yudke Vavke. That's the name of the game. And how do you do it? You take individual Jews and you put them together. If you're a peacemaker, and you see two Jews fighting, when you put them together, you made a word. You turned the whole mazal around. You turned the whole judgment around. It's the key. Now, anybody know how much the word Elohim equals numerically? Elohim. I'll tell you, I did it. Elohim equals 86. I know that number doesn't mean anything to you, but it means a lot to me. Elohim is 86. Now let's go back to our pasuk. Ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha ani Adonai. Listen to the new explanation in honor of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Ve'ahavta l're'acha. You have to love your friend. Bring Jews together. You know what you're going to accomplish? Kamocha. Look at the word kamocha. Kamocha is a chaf, 20. Mem is 40. Vav is 6. Chaf sofit is 20. The numerical value of kamocha is 86. Kamocha is judgment. 86 is Elohim. Ve'ahavta l're'acha. You know what happens when you bring two Jews together in unity? Kamocha, you take kamocha, which is judgment, ani Adonai, and you turn it into yudke vavke, you turn it into mercy. That's what ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha does. It makes kamocha into ani Adonai. It takes the 86 of midat Elohim and turns it into Midat Rahamim. That's the depth. And that's why Rabbi Shimon and his rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, on that opening day, he drilled into his students. The first yeshiva failed. Shelo Nahagu. That was the source of the virus. And then Rabbi Shimon came along and said, if my rabbi made that as his opening speech, that must be the key of life. So when he started his yeshiva, he said, we're not students over here. We are haverim. And for the rest of his life, he would teach his students this inyan of ahava. Incidentally, he was in the cave for 13 years. The numerical value of ahava is also 13. In order to hint to us that that was one of the premises and the keys and the centerpiece of Rabbi Shimon. But not only because of what it does, ben adam lahavero. When there's ahavat re'im, it does three things. As we learned tonight, number one, it allows us to share our mitzvot and therefore can make the tikkun to the neshama. That's why Hillel told the convert, if you don't want to come back in Gilgul, you'll be able to get many mitzvot that you yourself would not be able to fulfill. Secondly, maybe your tefillot are not going to reach Olam Ha'atzilut. Maybe you're not able to reach that high altitude. But if you start the prayer with V'hadeni Mekabel Alay Mitzvot Aseh Shvedek Kamocha, your prayer goes up with everybody else, even with the tzaddikim. And all of a sudden you have flight, and your prayers are answered. And thirdly, if a person has judgment, the way to rid the judgments is to take individual letters that start from left to right and put them together and create words that are read from right to left. You change the direction of Midat Adin to Midat Rahamim. Ve'ahavta l're'acha. And what does that do? Kamocha ani Adonai. It turns the Kamocha 86, which is judgment Elohim, into ani Hashem, into Yudke Vavke. In conclusion, Rabotai, I will tell you one last idea before I bid you a good night and a teskul shanim rabot. Shlomo HaMelech was very wise. Shlomo HaMelech said that friendship is reflexive. That means if you show respect to somebody, usually he'll show it back. If you want somebody to show good feelings towards you, you must take the first step. And then it's like what he said, it's like somebody that's looking in the water. The water will always show you reflection. He said, Kamayim hapanim lapanim. Just like water reflects the image, ken lev ha'adam le'adam, so too, two hearts reflect the same feeling. I once saw an unbelievable explanation. Why did Shlomo give the example of the reflection on water? He didn't know what a mirror was. I'm sure he knew what a mirror was. He was the smartest of all men. How come he didn't say, just like you see your reflection in a mirror, so too, two hearts reflect the same feelings. And I saw a beautiful explanation. When you look at your reflection in a mirror, you could do that standing up straight. That means you're rigid. You don't compromise. You're unyielding when you stand stiff and straight. But to see your reflection in water, you have to bend. You have to look over to see it. If you stand straight, you won't see your reflection. You have to bend over. In order to establish close relationships with people, you have to be willing to bend. You have to be willing to be a bit flexible. You can't be so rigid and sturdy and unmoving. Person has to be a little, he has to have some mobility, he has to be willing to bend, or I should say, to lower himself. In Hebrew, the word for lower yourself is shafel. Shafel means to humble yourself a little. Friendships and relationships take humility and humbling yourself. Where there's ego, there cannot be unity. The word shafel, look at the pasuk, ve'avtal re'acha. Re'acha is your friend. Well, why did I use that word? We have other words for friend. We have haver. Why do you use re'acha? Look at the words re'acha. Resh, ayin, chav. What's the letter in the alphabet after resh? Shin. What's the letter in the alphabet after ayin? Peh. And what's the letter after chav? Lamed. Re'acha, the letters after that is shafel. Shafel means to lower yourself. the key in establishing Re'acha, read the next letters, to be Shafel, to bend yourself over. And that's the blessing that I think, Baruch Hashem, this pandemic that we're going through has brought out a silver lining. There's a lot of Ahdut in Klai Yisrael these days. The Jews are concerned about each other, whether it's in the Bikur Holim, tending to the sick, or Lo Alenu, tending to the people that deceased in their families, tending to the needy with tzedakot. Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael, during a crisis, is not so worried about themselves, but is worried about the Klal. Not only here in New York, I'm sure it's the same thing in Mexico, there's a feeling of Ahdut for the community. All of a sudden, the word community is made of the word unity. When there's a crisis, Lo Alenu, it brings everybody together, which is the key. And that's the sword of Rabbi Shimon, Havraya Kadisha, and that's the sword of Rabbi Akiva. The second yeshiva was built on one principle. If you accept it, you can stay in the yeshiva. And from Be'avtal L'raka Kamoka, they built the chain and the Mesorah of Torah for the future generations. But that was the yesod of the binyan, the foundation of the building. And therefore I say to Botai, that when this passes, we have to take something with us. Leave the virus behind. Leave the one jaras behind us. But we have to take with us is the ahdut. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And that's what Rabbi Shimon teaches us. There's so many benefits from it. It'll benefit our mitzvot. It'll benefit our tefillah. It'll sweeten the judgments. It'll bring us beracha in our lives as well. And I pray that the prayer that the tzaddikim say about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that we say, Torato magen lanu. The Torah of Rabbi Shimon should protect us. Himi'irat enenu. It enlightens our eyes. Hu yamlitz tov ba'adenu. He should be an advocate for us. And that is, of course, Adonenu Bar Yochai. The school of Shanim Rabot, Ne'imot Vetovot.